is not necessary, Mr. President. We have a diplomatic solution.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Secretary, the missiles are flying.
Hello, welcome to Take 127 on Shipful of Bombs, Thames Delta Independent Radio, www.sfob.co.uk. My name's Dan.
Well done, Dan.
Can I just say, the mood in the studio this month, it's not fantastic, is it?
No, we're all feeling a bit... glum.
It's a dreary, grey, rainy day outside, and this is the week, if you're listening on a download at some point in the future, this is the week.
If we've got one.
This is the
make the most of it.
That the American public have overwhelmingly voted for President Donald Trump. So it's
not
a
overwhelmingly
bit of a
though, was it really?
Similar margin as Brexit, which actually she won the popular vote, didn't she?
But by about 400,000. But how many people are in America? 400,000 isn't much, is it?
No.
So, but there we go. So yeah, so it's been a weird old week. Plus, we've lost some more people this week in 2016. Leonard Cohen just woke up this morning to find out that Robert Vaughan's passed away, 83 years old, from leukemia.
Yeah.
So good. You know, so this should be a really fun, eventful.
Please keep listening. You will get better, we promise. Honestly.
Listening. So, anyway, yes. Right, let's go round the table. My name's Dan. I am talking into a microphone. To my left,
I'm Mark. I am talking into the microphone and sliding sliders.
In front of me.
I'm Joe. I'm just talking into a microphone.
And I'm Mike, and I didn't get a choice of movie this week.
He keeps going on about that.
I thought you chose Bob Roberts.
No, it was me.
I think as you said about politics, this show.
I did think such that was a strange choice for you, actually. No, I did think, why the hell has he chosen that?
I had no choice.
It's called a democracy, I believe, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, you had no choice. Welcome to democracy.
So I should explain to the listeners that because there were four of us, and we talk about three films per show, every episode there is one person that doesn't get a choice. I added up about the last five episodes and it turns out that Mike has had the most choices of anyone, so this month he hasn't had a film to choose,
but tries to package it like he doesn't ever get a choice. Actually, you're a bit Donald Trump about the whole thing, aren't you? Actually, that's what it is.
Definitely is. Yeah.
So, right. Anyway, shall we crack on with the? Have I mentioned what the theme is? I don't think I have.
I did. I said politics.
Oh, you did.
I thought I got away with it though.
We can confirm.
And actually, you did think of the theme, didn't you? I thought the theme was your idea.
The theme was my idea.
There you go.
There we are. Thank you.
What would you have chosen out of interest?
Being there.
Oh yeah, you said that. Yeah, I would have preferred that to Bob Roberts. Actually,
Well,
I watched that quite recently. Being there, it is a good film.
It's a good film. Good film. Glad we're not talking about that.
Yes,
but we could talk about that.
Right. So, shall we crack on then with the first movie? And I believe that this is one of yours, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, it's Bob Roberts, a film from 1992, starring Tim Robbins, Ray Wise, Gore Vidal, John Cusack, everybody's in it. Loads and loads of Hollywood sort of left-wing lovies are in this film. It's a story of a country singer called Bob Roberts, who is a very right-wing sort of star, and he wants to run for the Senate or the governor? I can't remember which one.
I don't know.
Anyway, but there's a position. There's a position in some kind of political...
Senator, I think. Isn't he trying to be a senator? Yeah.
But in Pennsylvania. And it's a sort of a fly-on-the-wall mockumentary, if you like, of his journey in trying to gain votes. And it's... There's obviously, in his past, there's some kind of story of him being involved in some kind of drug trafficking somewhere along the line. That his manager stroke campaign chairman, a guy called Lucas Hart III, played by Alan Rickman in a marvellous role. And yeah, it's I loved it when it came out, and I hadn't seen it for like 15 years or so, because I had it on VHS back in the day and watched it lots of times. And it's just the parallels to what's been going on with the Donald Trump campaign are quite frightening, in my opinion. It's the way that he manipulates the media, the way that he bullies people, the way that he lies, the way that he doesn't like any dissent. He's got this slightly different to the Trumps thing. He's got this persona of being a really lovely homespun guy, but he's not like that at all, really. When you catch the moments that are not meant to be filmed, it turns out he's actually quite a nasty, duplicitous bloke. And I think it's a fine satire. There's some lovely little cameos. Jack Black turns up as a fan of Bob Roberts in sort of the most intense role I've ever seen. And I mean, I remember watching that film in 92 and I really loved that character, the character of Roger Davis, and it was such a great little cameo. And it wasn't until fairly recently I discovered it was Jack Black, because he was 20 in his first ever film. I love it. I think it's a really interesting film. It's a little bit dated now, but I think that's because this thing has been done since. This kind of mockumentary thing. It's a political Spinal Tap, if you like, in many ways.
Oh, damn, I was going to say that.
Yes.
I think it's a political Spinal Tap, actually.
Yes, I think you're right, John.
I would have sold the line better, personally, okay. I think. I'd have made it work.
It's written and directed by Robbins as well.
I don't think it's a stretch for Tim Robbins to play a hideous person, actually. Okay. So just
pointing
that out there.
Allegedly. I'd just like to say allegedly.
Talking out of school.
Yeah, I don't want to be sued. A thoroughly enjoyable film, and I think it's I think I said earlier on that I think it's quite prophetic that you watch this now. I watched this the day after the American election, and I'm just like, I can't believe I'm watching this, because the way he manipulates and gets the power, he's just frightening.
He couldn't make it up.
No,
that's
exactly.
The thing, isn't it? That's the stuff.
I'm going to very briefly say, I've got to say that the lead performance by Tim Robbins, the actual character of Bob Roberts himself, is quite, I found him to be quite one dimensional.
I think that's the point.
And I did wonder that, where it's just like, actually, this guy is just, even when he was standing there singing songs with some of the most horrendous and outrageous lyrics, he's doing it with a smile on his face. And he's just always vacuous. Pleasant and kind of, absolutely vacuous, kind of like, kind of anodyne. He wasn't frothing at the mouth and ranting and raving. He just came across as really quietly spoken and kind of like nice boy next door image.
I find that kind of thing more scary, to be honest, because it is that
like
kind
a wolf
in sheep's clothing. Absolutely, that kind of thing.
It does make me wonder whether he thought, when was it? It was 92, wasn't
92.
It? It does make me wonder that whether he thought when they were making it, you know what, I can't have this guy as a rabid foaming at the mouth character, because nobody would buy that he would ever get anywhere.
It was a sort of a reaction to, obviously, with the Reagan era in a way, but also the Bush thing as well. It's all about, because, Tim Robbins is a well-known...
Well, yeah, and Susan Sarandon, and they're both in for it. Well, at the end, isn't it? If you wait till the end, at the end credits, it says vote. After the credits roll, it just says vote.
Okay. Is that when you woke up?
That's when I woke up. That is, by the way, all I have to say about this film. Thank you very much.
No, but so there are lots of that crowd are in it. I mean, John Cusack is a well-known activist as well. Gore Vidal plays his a Senate opponent, who's obviously the Democrat, and who was a grandee of the American Democratic Party back in the day. Obviously, Al Gore's cousin, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And all part of a sort of a very long tradition of Democratic. And he was that typical waspish Gore Vidal performance.
It was a bit of a...
What did you think?
Kind of... Hold on 1 second. Everybody wants to be a bloody host.
Well, you two haven't stopped talking, in fairness, so I just thought I'd get it back over this side.
I was about to pass it over to
what
Mike.
What do you think, Mike?
Everybody wants to be in charge, don't they? Everybody wants to be in charge. Go on, then.
Not when I'm Prime Minister.
I'm not tall enough to reach that from there. What did you think, Mike?
Well, I liked it. But I don't agree with Mark that it's dated. I think it's more relevant now than it probably was at the time. I didn't see it at the time. I think probably I thought it was a bit of a vanity project for Tim Robbins. He wrote, directed, starred. It's like, and I don't really like him too much, so it's like, so I didn't see it at the time. So the first time I saw it, wasn't particularly looking forward to seeing it, but I thought it's a really good film, and I think it's much more relevant today than it probably was then. Then it's probably thinking, well, there's no way a guy like that would come to power. And now it's like, it's not satirical anymore. It's almost like a just off the news reels. So that's what I think. Dan, if you're hosting again, are you?
Come on, Dan, please come
back. No, Dan's sulking.
Well, I haven't got anything to say, so this is going to be a good show.
So is it okay if I host again now? is that all right?
Oh, he's on one.
There's a lot of resentment in this room today. I think Donald Trump's got a lot to answer for.
He has, yes. He's driven a divide between us all. I can feel
just
it in the
terrible
room.
Shame.
We might have to hug it out.
Or punch it out.
I vote punch. Okay.
Yeah, so, good film.
So is that it? Is that all you've got to say about
it? Yeah, I thought it was okay. I'm sorry to be so lame. I just thought it was okay. Oh, I enjoyed it. Yes, saying something great, really satirical, brilliant. Mm. It was all right. I don't ever want to see it again.
No. I know what you mean. I don't think I'll ever bother watching it again. But it is worth a look, I think. You know, it's like an absolute who's who, isn't it, in terms of the little cameos, people appearing as, you know, news reporters and stuff like that. Astonishing amount of people in it. A little bit difficult because, as we said, the main character is a little bit kind of anodyne and inoffensive apart from what he actually says. Yeah. And I'm kind of struggling to think
it's funny.
What happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely made me laugh. I can't really remember.
Well, there's quite a significant thing that happens that we won't say because it's a plot spoiler, which is resolved at the end, and you think, well, what actually happened didn't actually happen, but as a result of that thing happening, he got elected.
Yeah.
If you know the thing I'm talking about.
Yes. I don't.
I say wheelchair, and that's all you have to say.
That must have been the 10 minutes. I had a little tiny nap.
Just rested my eyes for a split second.
It's fairly significant, and
that's why it didn't make any sense.
So, Bob Roberts, let's go around the table and see who thinks it was a hit or a miss. Mark.
Well, I think it's a hit. I say I loved it when it first came out, and I still love it now. I'm absolutely rewatching it.
A definite hit. Then, Joe, would you recommend this?
Well, it's hard to say because I feel so.
You fell asleep.
But also, I feel nothing about it, so I would neither recommend it nor. I'm in the middle.
Okay, right, a sideways thumb. Mike, that's your name, isn't it?
Yeah,
Mike.
I'm surprised you remember. It's a good film, but if I was giving it marks out of 10, which I wasn't asked to do.
But please, you must improvise.
Oh, I know, 7. It's like a decent film, okay.
Well, that would seem to be a more towards a thumb up.
A thumb up.
Yeah, okay.
If we're talking binary, I'll have my thumb erect.
Okay.
I think this show's going to get nominated for a radio award, this one.
Do you think so?
I think this one's something really special.
There is like a kind of a post-politics, post-facts sort of
lines. Yeah, I feel, yeah, that's
really
it. I feel exhausted.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Hit or miss for me? It's worth a look. You should watch it. So that's probably 3 definitely watch it.
3 and 1
who's not that bothered. So let's go to some music then. This is actually a brief little track from Bob Roberts movie. It's a song in the movie. Did we mention he does loads of singing and everything?
Yes, because he's a country singer, isn't
he? Yeah. So there's loads of songs in the
country
movie.
Country singer, sort of. I thought that was obvious that you would sing, but maybe not.
But it's part of his campaign trail is to sing at every rally and all that kind of thing.
Which I think you covered quite well in your introduction, Mark. Yes, I thought you covered that aspect.
Yeah. Excellent.
No tension at all in this room.
I'm going to have to look on the list in a minute, the list on the wall of words that we're allowed to say.
But you can always say some words when the music's playing.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Should we have some music now then?
Yeah. Yeah, this is Tim Robbins and a girl called Kelly Willis, who is actually quite a big name in the country music scene in the US of A. There's a little bit of chat before this. This is called Drug Stink.
I have to suffer. God knows, I would have thought that I had done enough by now to make my position on narcotics perfectly clear.
Drugs stink. They make me sick. Those that sell them and those that do them. String them up from the highest tree without a trace of sympathy. Drugs stink. Drugs stink. Be a clean living man with a rope in your hand. Drugs stink. Drugs stink. Hang 'em high for a clean living land. Pot-headed weirdos, sex deviants, dancing fools, your day is done. It's time to leave the face of this earth. Dope smoking morons, dirty hippie freaks. Drug sting, drug sting. Be a clean living man with a rope in your hand. Drug sting, drug sting. I am high for a clean living land. I am high for a clean living land.
Hey! There we go. That was a really, really, really quick musical interlude there. So, yes, now we're back and we're going to be talking about the next movie. This is one from 1997. And Mike, you are going to do the introduction and summary of this movie, aren't you? So can I pass the baton over to you?
Yes, you can, Dan. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
This is Dan's choice. Because I didn't get a choice. Because we're talking politics, so Mike didn't get a choice. But there you go. Did you say what the film was?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
no, because you nearly bit
I
my head off.
As well.
You nearly bit my head off last
that's
month.
That's because I had a whole comedy routine. Comedy gold it was for last
that's
month.
That's right, yes.
But this month I have no routine. And
excellent.
No notes.
Good.
Apart from these notes. I was lying about the notes. Wag the Dog, the film's called. 1997. Produced, directed by Barry Levinson, who's made lots of things. Co-written by David Mamet, who's written lots of things as well. So, you know, a good stable here so far.
Are you Barry Levinson, what else has he done? Because you said he's done lots of things.
Did Barry Levinson do Matchstick Men? Am I made that
no,
up?
No, that was Ridley Scott.
Really?
Yes, he directed Matchstick Men.
Okay.
Barry Levinson. Didn't Barry Levinson do the Men in Black movies?
Wouldn't it be good if we knew this stuff already?
Yeah.
Instead
well,
of
I
just
was
asking.
It's not like it's a film review Mike show.
Kind
or
of,
it's a Mark Commode, if you will.
He whetted my appetite because he said Barry Levinson, he's done loads of things. And I thought,
loads.
This will be interesting.
Okay, hang on.
No,
Barry Levinson.
No list at all.
He did Toys.
Well, Good Morning Vietnam was Barry Levinson.
There
so that's,
you
quite
go.
That's quite important.
And Politics
the
as
young
well.
Show.
Young Sherlock Holmes, which is a great film. Donnie Brasco. Great film.
The Perfect Storm.
Analyse that. That is not a good film.
Yeah.
Barry Levinson did that.
Well, he was involved in it somewhere along
the
line.
Oh, he must have produced it. No, because that was directed by Mike Nichols, wasn't it?
Oh, he was an executive, whatever that means.
But actually, he hasn't done that. He hasn't really done that much good stuff, is the answer.
No, okay. So, Mike, that's the first lie that we've managed to uncover in your
political show, so I think it should full of lies.
Well
anyway,
recovered.
Shall I tell you synopsis?
Please do.
I guess you're going to count that 2 minutes aside against me in my synopsis.
I'm resetting the clock.
Okay. Okay, it's America. It's coming up for a presidential election. It's like 2 weeks to go. And the president...
Elect.
No.
It's the incumbent, isn't it?
Yes.
He just say words. Why are you even listening?
Oh, dear me. Anyway, he looks like he's going to win again and get back in office. But there's a sex scandal. There's rumours that he might have had sexual relations with an underage girl. So what they do, it's never said whether he did or didn't, and that's a strength of the film, actually. It's all left vague, because basically none of the people in the film care whether he did or didn't. Mm-hmm. All they care about is covering it up. No, not even that. It's not covering up. They just want to distract the public for 2 weeks until he's re-elected. And that's all they want to do. So they get in a spin doctor who's... Robert De Niro in actually very one of his good roles.
Yeah, I did watch it thinking, oh yeah, you did used to be really good.
Correct, didn't it?
Yeah, it was so good.
And he's a spin doctor, and he decides, or is sort of cutting to the chase, it is decided to employ a big Hollywood film producer to fake a war. Not actually go to war, but to just give the illusion that America would war with Albania. Why Albania? Because no one knows where the flip Albania is, so no one knows if it's true or not. So the whole and film here to escalate, things happen and things get worse and worse, if you like. But basically, they want to just distract the public for 2 weeks till the guy's re-elected. And that's probably enough of a synopsis, do you think?
No, I mean, I think...
No?
Surely what a preposterous...
You've got to talk about Dustin Hoffman a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, Dustin Hoffman.
As the producer, Stanley Mott.
Yeah. And
Anne Hesh, please.
And Anne Hesh, yes. Mm-hmm. Although, sexist. to be fair...
What was that? Yeah,
sexist.
Anne Hesh's role wasn't the most...
I thought she was really good.
Great, but the role that they gave her wasn't fantastic. There wasn't a lot of meat to it, was it?
She's in almost every scene.
She's in it loads.
Yeah, but
she doesn't do an
awful lot, which I thought was disappointing, because I thought, I was hoping they would give the character more to do, but she just tends to kind of follow Robert De Niro around, which I thought was a bit...
But she hires Robert De Niro.
Yes.
So she's in control of it. No, that's how I read it. It's interesting. Watched it. She's ultimately the one who's kind of in charge, isn't she?
Right.
I didn't get. I think you're wrong.
The room divided it again, because I had exactly the same view as you. I thought she was the one.
Two of us are right, and two of us are wrong.
She was pulling the strings.
Yeah.
So shall we have a vote as to whether Anne Hesh's character was in charge?
Do I get a vote in this vote?
No, sorry. In fact, there's only one person gets a vote. That's me. Sorry.
Right. So, but yes. So can I just jump in then? Because Dustin Hoffman, Stanley Mott, Hollywood producer, they actually go to him because they say, you know, because obviously he's big in entertainment, they go to him and say, we want you to produce us a war. And that's basically quite a major part of it, isn't it?
But did I not say that?
No.
Oh. That's
correct, you did not.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I think you may have said something like that, but it perhaps wasn't quite as explicit.
Well, no, I did. Spoilers.
Yes.
I don't want to spoil it, but anyway, cut into the chase. One of the things that happens... CIA get involved as well, and that's William H. Macy, who's also not particularly well used.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's quite a nice little scene, but he could do more. Anyway, it's a terrific movie.
Ironically, he was actually in charge, wasn't he, when you think about it? Because they...
I don't think Anne Hesh will... Anyway, that's a relevant argument, because
it's just a point of view.
She had such a small part in the film, really.
But she didn't have a small part in the film. She's in every scene. The only scene she's not in is the one with Kirsten Dunst.
That's right.
She's in every scene, ain't she?
She was in that scene. She was in
no,
the,
but I mean, when it's Kirsten Dunst, I'm just saying it as an example. Okay, right. But yeah, she's in, I would say, 92% of the film, at a guess.
And yeah. Kirsten Dunst is a fake Albanian peasant running. Yes. And that's a very sharp satirical sequence where they're staging a newsreel of a village. So, like, you know, can we have more flames?
It looked all right, actually, didn't it? The technology, I was surprised. It didn't look completely naff and outdated, is what I mean. No. It looked okay.
It's a decent little movie. Good choice, Dan.
Hooray. Yeah, thank you.
I agree. I really, really liked it.
I think we probably need to go to Mark to get his view. And then we'll come back to you, Joe, and see what you thought.
I'd not seen this film before. I remember it coming out, and I remember sort of the discussion about it, because it was around the time of one of the Gulf Wars, and it was, you know, is this, are we seeing what we're really seeing? And I think it's a sort of a, I don't know, it's a comment, isn't it, on how we are manipulated by the news. And a lot of the stuff we see, are we really seeing what we're seeing? Do we really know? And I thought that aspect of it was really interesting. I agree with both Joe and Mike about De Niro. I'm not a De Niro fan. I find him too muggy. He mugs a lot and he's overacts. But this was, when he does an understated performance, I think he's very good. And I think in this one, he was understated.
Yeah.
And I liked him a lot in this. Likewise, I'm not a big fan of Hoffman either, for the same reason. It's that method.
He's not very good, I don't think. He's not really going to have a career.
It's that method thing.
I don't
thing,
think we'll see him again.
I just find them, they always play themselves. You know, they keep saying, oh, what great actors, but they're just like, they're just playing Robert De Niro and Dustin Hoffman. And
I so disagree with you.
Okay, anyway. But I know, it's their own. But he was quite good in this film as well. The story obviously was a little bit to be, you know, had to stretch the imagination slightly.
Or was it, though? Or was it? I don't know. That the scary thing is, I don't think it was a stretch of the imagination.
Like we said about Bob Roberts, it was probably over the top of the time, but now it just seems like nothing.
Yeah, possibly.
I think this is similar. You would have, like, think, well, that's never going to happen. But now you watch a news. Well,
and I liked it that everything they said, Robert De Niro was always like, did we? No, we did. You know, like, he questioned everything you'd ever seen. Did we fake that? What? Oh, yeah.
But it was about dropping the bomb down the chimney. He said, we did that in the studio. Said, did you? And but that's the point. How do you know?
I really like that, Joe.
There was another aspect to that that I really enjoyed, which is there's a part where, I don't think this is major spoilers, is it? There's a part where the CIA effectively ends the fake war because the guy that's running against the president comes out on TV to make an announcement to the press that the war in Albania is over. And Dustin Hoffman's producer character goes crazy. He goes, they just ended our war. They can't do that, can they? The war hasn't ended. And Hoffman just says, the war's over. I just saw it on TV.
Yeah.
And I just love that line, where as soon as it's on TV,
that's it.
When Mike said that point, the Kirsten Dunst character, where there's a scene where she's running away from bombs and stuff, and it's all done in the studio, and that looked like it was real. It was from the technology he had back in, whatever, 97. And it just makes you think, are we really watching what we're watching? You know, because it's that easy. They just did it.
Of course, manipulation is manipulation and propaganda.
Absolutely, it looked real with the technology we had back then, and now they can do anything. And so it just makes you wonder, you know, you see these things happening, and, you know, you get the loads of ridiculous conspiracy theories about everything, including the Twin Towers coming down, which is, you know, complete nonsense. But and the moon landings and all that kind of stuff. But there are lots of different situations where the media can manipulate for their own ends because they want us to believe that's what we're seeing and we're not. And I think that's what this film is about, I think.
Yeah.
More than anything else. I enjoyed it. I thought it's a film I will revisit again and watch again.
Oh, cool. Joe.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. Like actually, I hadn't seen it either. I'd just heard of it, and I thought it was really I really, really enjoyed it. I thought the cast were amazing. I love Dustin Hoffman. Okay. I think he's quite a versatile actor. Robert De Niro, yeah, it is good to see him in a film where you remember that he was actually amazing. And I really liked Dan Hesh, who's obviously in charge in the whole film. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really beautifully directed, actually. There was loads of great cinematography. There were loads of great shots that I thought were... And I thought it was a really slick script. And
yeah, the script was
for me, it just didn't really put a foot wrong. It was really pacey. It kept me entertained the whole time. And it's so sharp and still so funny and relevant all these times. Yeah. I mean, especially, of course, with what's just gone on, you're on hypersensitivity to all these issues. But, you know, I thought it was a really smart, intelligent, funny film that's just scary in the fact that half of it was probably true.
Mm. That's what you just said. You said they didn't put a foot wrong. And funnily, I'd not thought about that in that aspect. But there isn't. There's not one thing. It may not be my favourite film, or even a close to that. But there's not one thing I'd criticise.
No, it's so well done, and it's like there's just so, you know, like I said, so many shots. I was like, wow, that's really beautiful what they've just done there, and it just keeps the pace up, and it's never there's no. They've not wasted a minute on screen time, which is so often.
Oh, can I just retract what I just said?
Yes.
One
why?
Thing, Mark Knopfler soundtrack.
Oh yeah, well.
Oh, well, Willie Nelson. We must mention Willie Nelson.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Woody Harrelson.
Dennis Leary.
Willie Harrelson.
Dennis Leary. Why isn't he doing more stuff? Whoa.
I don't like Woody Harrelson, but he was absolutely.
You don't like Woody Harrelson?
No, but he's.
I love Woody Harrelson.
He's good in this. Yeah.
He was. No, that's getting too much into the plot.
Yeah.
But he plays a superb bad
yes
guy.
It does
not a nice person.
As it kind of goes on, you know, the Woody Harrelson thing.
Is he the bad guy though, or is America the bad guy?
He's certainly a bad guy.
Discuss.
That's a light point for us to go into.
A major spoiler there about the character, which I won't. But yeah,
no, that's
not
fine.
Not a nice man. But one of the things that some people on the internet have criticised with this film is you can't invent a war. Albania would kick back. They would say something, surely. And
not if they were paid off.
I think that... that may well be the case. There may have been a political agreement between them.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I think anything's possible.
The fact of the matter is, I think that there are so many things that happen in this film, and it escalates and escalates, that you watch things at the beginning and you think, yeah, I can absolutely see that happening. And as it goes on, you think, yeah, I can see them doing that. I can imagine that being real. And the film, I think part of the point of it is that it's almost asking you, okay, what about this? Do you think this is possible? What about this? Is this a plausible event? And at some point, you have to make the decision as to whether or not the filmmakers have gone too far and done something that couldn't happen in real life. And I think that's...
There's an interesting point, though. I think it was a month before... this film was released a month before the Lewinsky scandal and subsequent bombing of a pharmaceutical factory in Sudan by the Clinton administration, and it's almost like, oh
well, that's the thing, isn't it, they made this war because the president's had an affair with a younger woman,
so it's all about deflection, isn't it? It's like,
but the fact that they'd rather make a fake war than just admit, do you know what I mean?
That's the whole point, isn't it? I think is that
that's utterly believable.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what, well, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So this thing that happened, did they bomb that factory to deflect?
I mean, just the fact that America just elected a president who just said, let's grab women by the pussy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's worse than this film's idea.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you can imagine if he was in power and those kind of things come out that he's done in the past, what would he do?
Well, there won't need to be any deflection for Trump because no one would be remotely surprised. What could he do that would actually make people go, well, we better deflect that? I mean, what else could he do or say? Exactly.
Joining the Communist Party, possibly.
Let's not go back because it depresses me. The thought of him in the White House makes me physically and mentally depressed.
People should make the most of movies like this because we won't see anything like this again.
Oh, you think? Well, it wouldn't get made?
I don't think it would get made purely, but not because people will try and stop it, but purely because I think we've now reached sort of peak satire.
Yeah it's true,
you
actually.
How can you satirize Donald Trump?
No,
you
can't.
But has there been a good modern? What's the last modern? Was there a more recent political... I was just wondering if there's anything.
Well, you got the what's it called?
The thick of it.
The thick of it.
Which even Armando Iannucci said that he stopped making The Thick of It because it's now there's nothing left to satirize. It's already too ridiculous.
The world is unsatirizable. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Unsatirizable.
So it is now.
That's copyright take 127.
103 points.
But it's not a word. Who cares?
So I would say to kind of make the most of this film, but unfortunately, for some bizarre reason, it's not available to buy in this country.
Well, I bought it off of Amazon. Last week.
You can watch it. You can watch it on Amazon.
I've got it on DVD for about £6.
And you can watch it on Amazon for free.
Good Lord. You can, if you've got Amazon Prime, you can currently watch it for free. It's not on Netflix. You can buy it on YouTube to watch. You can rent it for like £2 odd. But in terms of buying the DVD, I'm sure that I checked.
Well,
and
I bought it. I bought it from, it was Amazon.
Was it a seller?
It was a marketplace seller. And it was it. It was £6, I think. £5? £5?
That's not too bad then.
More scintillating radio from Take 127.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
And more consumer advice next month.
Where did you get it?
That's fantastic.
Other online shops that are available.
And Tesco have put their carrots up again. Know that, don't you? Right, so we need to go around the table. Have our entirely democratic vote on who would recommend this as a good film to watch. Let's start with Mike.
Oh,
this time.
I'm part of this democracy now, am I? Yeah, it's a good film.
Good. No, I've moved on. Joe, you've had your say.
Typical man.
Joe, what do you think?
Yes, absolutely. Thumbs up from me.
Excellent. And Mark?
Yes, I'd recommend it, definitely. Yeah.
Splendid. And a recommendation is from me as well.
Because it is Dan's choice.
That's four. So that's four recommendations. Let me just repeat. Four recommendations.
So it's lost.
Yes. Very much. Very
good
much
choice, right.
Keeping
Dan
in the spirit of the US election, unfortunately, it's lost.
Yes. Fantastic.
Got the popular votes, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It did.
But in political
terms. But the winner is Bob Roberts. Wait, what? Excellent. Right. So, shall we have a bit of music then? This is actually a track which was used in the next film that's coming up. That's going to be one that Joe will be telling us about. But it's from the soundtrack to that, and it is David Bowie and Queen Bitch.
Eventually,
any moment now.
We can carry on talking about where that DVD came from. Yeah.
Sweet-talking night-walking games. Oh, she's known in the darkest clubs for pushing ahead of the dames. If she says she can't do it, then she can't do it. She don't make false claims. But she's a queen, and such a queen, such a laughter is sucked in the brains. Now she's leading him on, and she'll lay him right down. We'll be right back.
street, so I throw both his bags down the hall. And I'm phoning a cab, cause my stomach feels small. There's a taste in my mouth, and it don't taste at all. It could have been me, oh yeah, it could have been me. Why didn't I say, why didn't I say? No, 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 she's so switchy in a satin and bad. In a frock coat and bibbidi bobbidi hat. Oh, kind of like a toupee.
Wow, great song. Good choice, Mike. Thank you for that. Sorry, because Mike, just to be clear, you actually chose pretty much all of the music for this month's show, didn't you?
Yes,
Mike, who has had no choice whatsoever.
It's not much of a choice, is it? You see what music's in the film, and that's what you got left.
Yeah, okay, cool. No, just clarifying that you have actually had quite a lot of choice this month. Probably more than the rest of us.
You didn't play the Wag the Dog music, though, did you?
Well, we might play it. We might play it in a bit.
Oh, I don't think you will. I think you got too nervous.
If we played it, would it...
America is beautiful.
Would it prevent us from being able to hear you? I think... So, next up, we're going to have the music. Right, no, it's over to Joe for the third and final movie of this particular show. By the way, you are listening to... Take 127 on Shipful of Bombs, Thames Delta Independent Radio, www.sfob.co.uk. Joe, over to you.
I apologise if I'm perhaps not my usual sparkling, effervescent self, but I do actually feel exhausted by the onslaught of Trump and everything and staying up and watching the election. So just saying, listener, I apologise. Anyway, so this film that I chose is Gus Van Sant's film Milk, which is... about Harvey Milk, who was a 40-year-old man, a gay man who moved from New York to San Francisco and opened a camera shop and then started getting involved in gay rights and became the first gay...
Superintendent, wasn't it, or something?
Superintendent.
No, it's some silly word, isn't it?
It was superintendent, it was.
Yeah.
Was it?
Hmm.
Wasn't he the first openly gay politician to be elected?
First person ever to be elected.
And it's intercut with real footage from the time, because obviously this was a time when there was attacks on gay men and they didn't really have a voice in the community. And it's about Harvey Milk and his difficult rise to power and his opponents. And I don't really want to give too much away, really, but that's the gist of the film. And I love this film. I loved it when I first saw it. I think it's... like the other two films we've seen, you watch it with a kind of horror that it was in 1972, and sadly it seems like we've got a president now that could make people who have a similar voice to those who were fighting against Harvey Milk get back in. So it was slightly horrifying watching that. Sean Penn won an Oscar for his performance, rightly so. I think it's a pretty amazing cast, actually. Emil Hirsch, James Franco plays his lover. I think they're all amazing. And Dustin Lance Black, who wrote the screenplay, it was the first thing he'd written, and he is a young gay man in Hollywood. And I don't know if you remember the Oscars that year, he made this amazing speech about being a gay man in Hollywood, and it was so inspirational and brilliant. I think this film's really important and made me cry loads through it, and for more than one reason. And I just think it's a really important, beautifully shot, acted, directed, written film. There you go. What else can I say? And a great soundtrack. Okay, I see. I hear murmurs of dissent.
There does seem to be some dissent. Should we go to the premium dissenter?
I hear a grumbling.
Yes. Mike, you seem to disagree, you monster. Please explain yourself.
Disagree exactly how? What are you talking about?
Okay, all right then.
Perhaps that
was a slightly... slanted, biased question. Yeah. Should I instead ask you, Mike, what did you think of this film?
I like the film. I think it's a good film. I don't like the script. I don't like the structure of the film.
Carry on.
The film starts, and it's not a spoiler because it's before the main credit, Milk, comes up. You got Sean Penn I might slightly got this wrong, but it's very early in the film anyway. Sean Penn is, well, basically, you know, he gets shot right at the start. Yeah, that's not a spoiler because it's in the pre-credit sequence. Then you see him as an older person, not like before he's been shot, obviously. But
it's not a zombie film.
He's talking into... now, that might have been a better film.
That's the one film I want to say.
Zombie milk.
Gay zombies. Yes, I like that. I'll make a note of that. Now, where was I now? Just that gay zombies is now just rolling around my head. Right, he's talking into a cassette recorder or whatever, say, in the event of my death, you know, you will only hear this in the event of my death, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then what the well-known phrase about movies, show, don't tell. And I feel there's an awful lot of telling in this film where it keeps coming back to Sean Penn saying blah, blah, blah. And then I did this. And then you see, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of passive exposition in it.
And
it,
oh, my goodness. I think that's kind of weak storytelling, personally, because halfway through the film, they kind of forget that aspect. And then you can really get to know the characters. So, personally, the only thing I didn't like, really, was the structure of telling it all in the flashback from his perspective. I think there's too much exposition, not enough getting to know the characters.
Did you like when they used the real footage, when they intercut with real footage? What did you think of that? Did you like the way that
At the time, I wasn't aware it was true footage or made to look like true footage, and it didn't mean anything to me one way or the other, because he got killed in 78, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I was like a punk in 78, and I was not aware.
You still are, aren't you? The Mohican's lovely.
Senile punk. Aging senile punk, but yeah, punk at heart. But I don't think, well, no, that's not right at all. I know I was not aware of this aspect going on in America. In Britain in 76, 77, 78. But perhaps that's just me. I'm not, but I don't.
But news, wasn't news so globalised then? And wasn't it kind of a domestic issue? I don't know whether it would be, like, what, likewise, would America have any idea of issues that would have been big in certain parts of England?
I'm not saying that's
a
good thing or bad
thing.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm saying that I wasn't aware of this going on. It felt to me like earlier than, you know, I was a teenager in those days, and a lot of the people in this film, a film that would have resonated for me, the events would have resonated with me if I'd been aware of them, I think. So I was kind of watching this anew. I didn't know a lot of this history, this gay activist history in America. So I was watching it anew. I share your horror. The stuff they, and it's so recent history as well. If it was like a lot earlier, maybe 50s or whatever, you can kind of, but 70s, it seems such recent history for old people like me. It seems so recent, it was so awful.
Yeah. I think that it's not wholly different in some parts of America.
Well,
still,
no, probably not.
No.
But back to the film rather than the kind of sociology. The film, I think, was a good film, but didn't like the structure.
Okay.
There you go.
Interesting. I must admit, I do agree with you a little bit in terms of the structure. It was a bit kind of, for me, my favourite part of the film was like about the first 3 or 4 minutes, the opening credits, because that was when there was all the footage, the, you know, the real life footage of all the guys being arrested and taken out in from bars for the crime of being a gay man having a drink in a gay bar. And it's not like, you know, the portrayal of gay bars that you would have seen in like the Police Academy film where it's all like leather and that. It was guys in suits, a guy in a suit, a guy in shirt and trousers, and they're all just sitting there having a drink. It's not some weird sort of like Roman orgiastic thing. It's guys in a bar having a drink and the police are coming in and marching them out. and they're just being arrested for being gay. And I found it horrendous to watch and heartbreaking to watch. And then the rest of the film, it never quite hit the emotional highs for me of that first few minutes of genuine footage. It never really kind of hit it for me. So, yeah, a bit of a weird one. Mark, what do you think?
Well, so it's a film, again, I remember it coming out, but I didn't see it. I'd seen the... There's a documentary about Harvey Milk as well, isn't there, that was released prior to that, yeah. And I'd seen that, so I knew the story of Harvey Milk from that. I'd never seen this. I didn't really know what to think, what I'd find. I'm not a great fan of biopics, because I think sometimes, you know, they use a lot... You do tend to get a bit of a whitewashed view of things, and it's all a bit lazy sometimes, and you know, you're seeing someone that you come across in real life being portrayed by someone else, and it's a jar sometimes. Having said that, Sean Penn was miraculous in this film. He was just completely amazing. You've seen him in lots of other things, you think, oh, he's alright, he's a, you know, run of the mill actor type bloke, really doesn't do it, and he was transformed himself in this. It was his body language, the way he moved, everything about him, he was completely convincing as Harvey Milk. And you know, the awkward with James Franco again, when we sort of picked him up on the subway, just like, by or leave, he doesn't want to come out. Okay, then. You know, I don't know, that's gay culture, maybe that's the way it worked, but anyway, I really enjoyed the story of his rise to power, and in a way, in some ways, he became a bit like the politicians he was fighting against in his duplicity, and the way he sort of, there's a particular character, the way it ends, obviously Mark's already said, he gets shot, and the person who does that is manipulated in a way by Harvey Milk, and you know, it's not particularly very nice, so he becomes a part of the system that he's fighting against in a way. A bit of the structure, I don't disagree with what Mike said. The flashback thing, it works in some ways. I found it a little bit dull at times, I must admit. I found it just dragged a little bit,
yeah.
And I don't know why that was, whether it's a direction, whether it's a script. I mean, I enjoyed it, but there was times when my mind was wandering a bit, and I was like, I'll just check my phone, and, you know, and I wasn't riveted to the screen. But yeah, I think it's a good film, I think it's an important film because of who it highlights. And I think we should know about people like Harvey Milk.
Yeah, it's important. True. It's heartbreaking. True. One of my favourite scenes, or the scene perhaps that just, you know, the scene when they just first open the camera shop and the guy from across the road comes to suits and he shakes his hand and he gets a tissue out and wipes his hand.
Yeah. And he says, shut down.
I don't know. I mean, I do hear you. I get it. It's not for... I mean, I think Gus Van Sant's quite a challenging director, actually, anyway. So, you know, he's always experimenting and mucking about with stuff. But I just think this film is just really important, and especially depressingly now... You know, when there seems to be going backwards, well, as when opposed you've to got going forward. So it's definitely one I want my kids to watch when they're old enough. And, you know, just, you know.
We've got the Vice President of the United States who, when he was governor of his state or senator of his state, introduced a law that meant that if a gay couple applied for a license to get married, they would be arrested.
Yeah.
Not gay marriage is illegal. If you actually ask, can we do it, then that's illegal.
Yeah.
And that's the person who's the vice president. So, yes, I mean, watching that's this film I mean. Now is it's, very, very important.
It's interesting, isn't it? All three films we've chosen, actually, are strangely, depressingly apt.
Yes.
Yeah.
To this hysterical, ridiculous world we're currently inhabiting.
Yes. Except I didn't choose.
Oh, no.
Well, that's, as I said before, that's democracy.
Absolutely. And that's how it should be, Mike. You should never, ever
have
a choice.
What about if we let you choose all three Christmas films?
God. Please don't.
Oh, that's you decided we're having a Christmas special, are you?
We've got to have Christmas films. Come on, guys. I'm so grouchy.
I wouldn't have given the Oscar to Sean Penn myself.
Who would you have given it to?
Mickey Rourke, wrestler.
Was it the same year?
Same year.
Okay. Oh, that is a shame, yeah. But I do think Sean Penn's performance is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, equally, they're both equally great performances. But yeah, you're right. It's really
I would have given it Mickey myself.
Yeah. I've never seen the rest of it, so anyway.
I'm gonna come up with a really controversial statement here. I thought that, and I really like Sean Penn. I think as a director, he's fantastic. I love The Pledge. Fantastic director.
Really love that film. Underrated, that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt that his performance in this was a little bit one note. But That's because, in my opinion, the material that he was given to work with wasn't that fantastic. The whole film felt a little bit one note and a bit flat, and it didn't feel like it was really drawing me in and, oh my god, oh well, what's going to happen. It just felt a bit
flat, which
is weird,
because I found it really atmospheric and exciting and upsetting and challenging and
strange isn't it? But yeah, I don't know, for me it just didn't really draw me in, which I found astonishing, because great actors, fascinating real life story, it's all there, but the resulting film for me just left me feeling a bit flat.
Bit,
and I was like, okay, so that was that then, was it?
Yeah. So, do you know, Sean Penn, I watched the whole of Carlito's Way once at cinema, thinking, I wonder when Sean Penn is going to come in.
Yeah, he looks amazing in that film. I think he's, I really like
so
Sean
he
Penn.
Is
I
a terrific actor. I don't think that's his best work in Milk. He is very good, but I don't think
he's. Because he won
best.
An Oscar for Mystic River as well, didn't he? He's won two Oscars, actually. Yeah, I was looking at it last night.
He's a good director.
Oh, hang on, The Pledge was good. Indian Runner.
Fantastic film, The Pledge.
Yeah, that's what we just said, underrated.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we should choose that one month. We should talk
Christmas
about
film?
That.
Actually, yeah, it's
set.
Have a Christmas tree.
It's set Christmas. There we go.
This is all come together. Time, nice at the
well,
it's the first time this show and probably this week that all four of us have smiled.
I know, it has been a very strange week. We really must apologise, I suppose.
Pledge, so I look forward to seeing it.
Oh, it's wonderful. Oh. That's wonderful. Jack Nicholson. Oh, God. And yes. Robin Wright Penn.
What an ending.
Oh, I love her.
What an ending.
Oh, it's brilliant. Oh. Brilliant. Yeah.
Amazing film. So now we can't talk about it because we mostly tend to be in agreement that it's a great film. So what's the point in doing a review?
Well, no, there is a lot to say
but
about The Pledge.
We might do it anyway.
Because
we might.
Also, a lot of people haven't seen it and they should.
Yes,
I haven't.
See?
There you go.
Oh, so we might do it then. Listener or potentially listeners.
Yeah. Or maybe listeners earlier in the show.
You'll
listener.
Have to tune
now.
In to the Christmas show to find out if
the
we discuss the
Pledge.
Please come back. We promise we'll be on better form. We'll have some drinks that show.
Yes, yes. What we'll do, we'll try and get drunk for the next show. So it'll be a bit more fun and less depressing. Right, okay. So let's go around the table very quickly then and have votes for Milk. Joe, Milk?
Yes, please.
Yes. Milk? Yeah. Yes. Milk.
I would say yes.
Yes, and I'm going to kind of say yes as well, because it's an important story. Although, you know what, I would probably like to watch The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, the documentary,
really
then
good.
Make a decision on this.
Yeah. I think Life and Times of Harvey Milk is better, personally.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, I really like that. But,
that would probably
so what
be a
wins
good
it? I think there. Even though I'd love to say that Milk wins it, in fairness, we all like Wag the Dog more, didn't we?
Wag the Dog did get the most votes.
Yeah. Well, equal votes, no? Didn't you
no,
say
it got
yes
the most
for
votes. I said half yes.
Oh, right, okay. All right.
Yeah.
He,
and
he
I didn't say that
to get his choice to win.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. It's really cunning.
How dare you suggest I would do something so underhanded? Right. There we are then, folks. That's us for another month. Wag the Dog. Go and watch it. If you can get hold of it, then do so. Great film. Go and watch all of them. I think we liked all of them, really,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah.
They're all
worth
a watch.
Worth
so.
A watch, yeah. Go
fantastic.
And watch it and be depressed like us.
Right. Okay, then. That's us. We'll catch up with you next month.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.